All right, good morning. My name is Albert Saus. I'm a premier field engineer from Microsoft, and I'm here to talk about upgrading to Windows 10 using Config Manager 2012 and vNext. Okay? All right, first note that I want to give to you guys is that evolution is inevitable. So, meaning everything that we do has changed from the time that we were born till now. Well, in this photo, you would see a man evolving from a chimp, right? Well, you also notice that his computer is not really up to date as well. It still hasn't got clothes on. But in any way, the point is, when we go through time, we change from one type of a way of doing things to another. So previously, you might have been doing builds how? People would come to you and ask you to build their machine, and you would do it using disk and whatever, right? I bet some of you still do that nowadays. There are some organizations that still don't have Config Manager or any ways of building that, but then we all need to evolve in a way that, apart from doing builds, we should now learn how to embrace the upgrade. Okay? Are you with me on that one? Okay? Hopefully, we will be after this. So what will we cover? We'll take a look at the deployment methodologies that we use, or that are available to us. Not that we're getting rid of them, but we are giving you more options, okay? So we'll also take a look at the overview of the upgrade phases. You might have seen this already from Michael Niehaus's presentation yesterday, right? I'll just give a brief summary of that. And then on to the main part of this presentation, which is the Windows 10 upgrade task sequence. All right. So imaging is the main thing that we do nowadays. So a lot of times when we want to have a new version of Windows deployed, we'll do imaging. We want to wipe it all clean. The reason being is that we feel that there's a lot of garbage in the current systems that our users own. Okay? So in effect, when you do a fresh build, you think that it'll perform better. You think that there's no garbage left in there. Yeah, but in any case, they'll fill it up with garbage anyway in the future. So yeah. So next one is upgrading. This is what we're going to talk about more today. So instead of having a fresh build from scratch, let's just replace that OS, the yoke that Michael talked about, and place it with a new yoke, okay? And then still have those applications, still have the old settings that we had. Then there is provisioning. So a lot of organizations purchase hardware OEMs that already have OS on out of the box, but normally those OSs don't really have all that we need. In an enterprise environment, we want to replace that with the things that we like. We want to remove applications, we want to remove those components that we are not going to use or things that we don't think that are usable in our environment. Then replace them with the applications that we want, line of business apps and so on. So that's provisioning. And the last part, after you deployed Windows, the next thing you think about is servicing. How do you keep it up to date? What do you use? Do you just rely on WSUS? Do you apply service packs, roll it out using Config Manager? Okay. So that's servicing. Now, with Windows 10, we bring about new ways of doing those three: upgrading, provisioning, and servicing. It's interesting. You have to make the decision early on before you deploy Windows 10. With the previous versions of Windows, we didn't really have a good experience, right? It gets complicated. Say we try to go for an upgrade of Windows 7, all right, from XP to Windows 7, I mean. But how would you have done that? Okay. So there might be a complete series of steps with scripts that make it all complicated, but in the end, you still get a bad experience from users. Right? Now, we take that learn from those experiences as we go along the new versions of Windows. And I think we really come to the point where it would be something seriously, something for you to seriously take a look at. All right. So why do you want to upgrade rather than doing a complete re-imaging? So it's basically these things. All right, so preserving applications, drivers, et cetera. So we have all those drivers that we need in there already. We just store them somewhere in the staging area and then apply the new OS and reuse the drivers. If you have other critical drivers, just add them on, connect to the internet and download them and apply them. The other one is it being faster. So I've compared the times when you have a fresh build. It takes about 2 hours, for example, in a standard one. Then this takes a lot less time to do so. The main thing there that I want to point out is the third one, 0 ADK. What is 80K? Automatic or what? Yeah, it's a deployment kit. 80K, currently in Config Manager 2012, you'd probably have the Windows 8 or 8.1 ADK. With upgrade, you don't need that. The benefit there is that it gets complicated if you have to replace the ADK. How many of you have tried the Windows 10 ADK now? Cool? Two, three? Have you had any issues with them? Not too much? Well, the main thing there is that when you deploy the new ADK, what do you get out of it as well? A USMT package, right? So does it work with a Windows 7 deployment? If you plan to continue deploying Windows 7, the new ADK won't work with it. Okay? So how do you deal with that? Can you install them side by side? You probably can. Or you can install the Windows 10 ADK on a separate box and then use that, continue using the packages, the old packages for Windows 7 deployments, and then get the Windows 10 ADK packages for Windows 10 new deployments. So it gets messy, right? But when you just do an upgrade, you don't have to deal with those things. Okay, so the last one, using it to supplement existing deployments. All right, so consider it again. When your devices are still gonna be the same devices anyway, you're not gonna do a fresh, or you're not going to do bare metal, then maybe a good thing to use upgrade. The other one is operating system. Your environment is currently in a supported scenario, which means it should be under Windows 7 or above, then that would be viable for an upgrade. Okay? How many of you still have XP? Right, so you're probably the middle guy in that evolution. So apps. If you don't have any major changes in the applications that you're going to deploy, right? You're still going to use the same apps anyway. Then maybe a good time to do an upgrade instead. All right. Now, why would you need to do a wipe and load? Well, main thing, you still can't, of course, you can't do an upgrade of a bare metal machine, right? It's an empty disk, a blank disk. How could you upgrade that? So it's not going away. But then other considerations for still doing a wipe and load would be the following. First, configuration changes. So your organization has created a new domain. So the new machines that you create, right, you want them to become a member of a new domain, right? So instead of doing an upgrade, you probably want to go wipe and load so that you can have them join a new domain, right? So you want to change the local administrators as well. So in effect, you're applying new security policies, then you're also going to change the local administrators, right? Can't do upgrade, just do wipe and load, okay? Because the task sequences for a fresh build allow you to do these things, okay? And bulk application swaps, so you've had a huge set of applications for a long time, and they all need to be replaced with new versions anyway. So why would you go upgrade if you have a lot of these changes that need to be done? So you still have to do wipe and load. So other fundamental changes. You've acquired a new set of hardware that have these following changes. So you also need to make, for example, a new disk partitioning. Instead of having a single drive C, you want to partition them into C, D, and so on. Then you can't do upgrade. The BIOS has changed to UEFI. You got 64-bit and so on. So, yeah, pretty much very common sense. Other things, when you have, well, pretty much custom requirements there, you want to make use of a custom-based image, basically, and you want to deploy that rather than upgrading from a Windows 10 installer, then that will work better in a wipe and load scenario. Okay. Plus, there are also known images. If you decide to go for imaging, there are a few known issues out there. First one is the sysprep. So say, for example, you did an imaging. The moment that you do a sysprep and your machine is connected to the internet, it may fail because it would say there's an error with the app installed but not provisioned. So the cause of that is the Windows update that has these frameworks for old applications and that doesn't tie up with what's installed. So the main thing there, how can you deal with this when you're doing imaging? Well, pull the plug or do an offline imaging or just disable internet access, okay? So supposedly there was a fix already sent out for it. I haven't really checked, to be honest. But then as long as you apply those all the latest updates before you do a sysprep, you'll probably be fixed by now. Okay. But the other thing that I mentioned earlier already is the USMT. Okay, so it does not work on Windows 7 deployments. Okay, so yeah, do consider this one. So you can still use the old ADK anyway for Windows 7 deployments. Okay. So I'm just briefly going to go through the upgrade phases because this has been covered in earlier sessions. So you've seen all these phases already. Anything that's done before the system reboots, that will be the down level one. So these are all the prerequisite checks, driver checks, and driver inventory and stuff. So that's the down level. Then you hit WinRE. This is the recovery environment that you go into as soon as you reboot, and then it does all those backup of the OS, probably call it staging, if you may. And then you do the first and second boot until you get to the point where you get this. In the config manager, it doesn't lead you to this out-of-the-box experience, okay? So it just takes you to the login screen, log on again to your domain. That's it. So that's the difference there. All right, let's go into the task sequence. What is supported? So anything config manager 2012, SP2 it says, and R2 SP1. Okay, how many of you have deployed either of the two? Yeah, how many of you were confused with which package to use? Yeah, because the Service Pack 2 installer is what you needed to bring it from R2 to SP1. Okay, now I confused myself. Anyway, so that's basically what you need. I've tried using the task sequence on R2 without SP1. It still works, okay? So with Windows 8.1 ADK, okay, just keep it as is. Still use the same one if you're going to do an upgrade. With Windows 10 ADK, you'll need to uninstall the same thing that you did before with the previous ADK versions when you were upgrading your config manager servers. So basically, you need to uninstall the ADK first, the 8.1, and replace it with Windows 10. Okay. So a summary of that, even your SCCM 2007 can support Windows 10 clients. But you can't use it to do the deployment, okay? So anything else beyond that will be able to both deploy and manage Windows 10. All right. Let's take a look at the upgrade task sequence prerequisites. It's very simple. For Config Manager 2012, you need a couple of things. Okay, this is the 1506 zip file that contains the different scripts that you'll need to do an upgrade. And it, basically, it's mostly scripts that you import in the Config Manager. And of course, your Windows 10 Enterprise media. Okay, now what about vNext? Would there be more or less? Well, all you need is that installer. Then you can still already perform the upgrade. Okay? So it doesn't really take much. On the client side, I already mentioned that it's Windows 7 or above that supports this upgrade. Okay. And the steps are quite simple as well. There are four main steps for getting this task sequence on Config Manager 2012. So the first one, you'll need to download this zip file into a network share so that you can import it into your Config Manager. I'll show you this in a bit. After doing that, then you'll need the Windows 10 installer and then copy it to some folder, which I'll show you too. And then importing the task sequence. So basically, that zip file already has the task sequence laid out for you. You may need to just do some edits, modifications over there, and it's all going to be nice and sweet. Finally, distribute the package, deploy the task sequence, then you're good to go. Of course, you will want to do some testing. My advice, always have a pilot group. Okay, in your organization, you might have different types of devices running different versions of OSs and different applications. So you must test it on each of those different flavors to make sure it works before you deploy it, before you deploy the upgrade task sequence to the entire production environment. Okay? So let's try to dive in now. Okay. So in this simple environment, let me show you first the zip file. So this is the zip file, basically. And let me zoom that for you as well. All right. So that's your zip file over here. And then when you extract that, it creates this folder. Underneath that folder, it would actually just have this and that one. Now, why do I have this? I ran into an issue, which I will tell you all about it in a while. So this one and this one will be contained there. So the upgrade files will contain the media. This is where you'll get the contents of your Windows 10 ISO. Just copy it into this folder. So, which I've done already here. Simple. Now, the upgrade scripts, you don't need to touch them. So, the scripts go hand in hand with what you'll see in the task sequence itself. So, you got pre-setup, recover setup, setup complete, and so on. This goes in line as well with those four upgrade phases that I showed you earlier. Okay? So, how do you go about importing them? Simple. If you go to the Config Manager, Software Library, Operating Systems, Task Sequences, all you have to do is right-click and import task sequence. So by doing that, now you just point it to the location of the file. So in this case, I'll point it to the chair. There you go. Oops, wrong one. So we're trying to point it to the zip file. And should be the one in the middle. Yep. Now, why do I have this? Because I've already done it before. If you were doing this for the first time, it'll show you create new, create new, create new. Just click next, you're done. All right? Okay, so I'll cancel it now because I've already imported it. Because after that, what it gives you is this. The task sequence is called Windows 10 Upgrade. Although it actually says Windows vNext Upgrade, I just changed it, okay? So looking at this task sequence now, just go edit. What does it have? The preparation group, upgrade operating system group, and let me move this. Post-processing and rollback. So the check readiness one is the one that you probably would like to change. I had to do this because of the specifications of my clients. What was the slide yesterday shown? If you're on a 32-bit system, what's the minimum memory requirement? Pardon? 1 gig. This is for you. All right. And if it's 64-bit? Wow, many answers now. Okay. Not enough, so thank you. all right, but when you look at the check readiness here, you can actually play around with those values, okay? So you can say, okay, my machines are not really 2 gig. I've had this where it's actually 2 gig for the machines, but it's failing on the check prerequisites. Why? Because the usable RAM is not reaching 2 gig. Even though you know that it's already installed with 2 gig, the usable RAM is less. So in those cases, you might have to jump in here and make that change. So I can just make it 1, 5, 3, 6 instead, okay? So same thing, you got the requirements here or the prereq checks for the processor speed. And you can also determine whether you're going to upgrade a client and a server. Works pretty well, you know why? You might have heard of an organization before that deployed XP to all servers. Yeah, because he deployed XP old, okay? It's an old build of XP. And he deployed to a collection based on a query, but the query was, it says XP on the name, but the query was select star from all systems. So there, all the domain controllers, all the exchange servers are now XP, yay! Success, but yeah. A few weeks to restore that one, but the worst of it is that the backup was 2 years ago, the full one, and everything else was incremental. Yay, hours for us so to work on that one. Anyway, moving forward to this, there are pre-setups here. Now, this is the first script that it calls out, and it says pre-setup. This is where it does all those configuration checks, inventory of applications, and so on. So that's the first script that's being called out here. Now, the important thing to note is that PowerShell execution policy. You can set it already here. In most environments, the execution policy is set to restricted, right? But then you can set it here, bypass it for now during this task sequence. So it does give you a bit of control as to what you can do during this deployment of the upgrade, okay? Okay, so now this is just doing this copy of some contents where you can copy it to, well, it actually does a copy of files, set of files into the system drive. It creates this vNext upgrade folder, okay? So you'll see that in a bit. Then we move on to the upgrade operating system. So, all right. So after all those prerequisite checks have been done, then it's able to proceed to the next one, of course. So if anything fails, it still is able to do a recovery, okay? Then it calls that next script, the recover setup.ps1, okay? After that, given that there was no issue, then it will restart the computer, then do post-processing, install software updates, sorry. And finally, do a cleanup. Anything fails, there's still rollback here. You can actually add some more stuff here, obviously, because it's a normal task sequence, like you always do. You can add more drivers if you need to. You can inject drivers. You can have more rollback steps. What examples of rollback steps can you think of? Give me one good one, and you get. What rollback steps can you think of if it's a failure? Pardon? Yeah? The other one I was looking for was, notify someone, this is good. And the other one is really copying the logs, right? So whatever logs was created, you want to consolidate them, copy them, for example, to a network share, then it's easier for you to do the troubleshooting afterwards, okay? So just a few ideas here and there. All right, so now that you've had the task sequence, you've taken a look at it, what else does it get into this system? What does it bring in? Okay, do I have an operating system image in there? No, it didn't create one. How does it deploy Windows 10? It's a package. So to find that, you go into application management, and under packages, that's where you'll see, wait, there. You actually have the VNX upgrade media. And when you look at the source of this media, that points you back to data source. That points you back to that folder I showed you where I copied the Windows 10 installation bits, okay? So what's the prerequisite here? They need to be in the distribution point. If you forget to distribute the content to your DPs, of course, the task sequence will fail. So same thing, the scripts are also going to be there, all right? So make sure that these three elements are present when you've done the import. So you got the VNX upgrade media, the scripts, and the task sequence itself. Okay? Too easy? For now, until it breaks. Now, what I was telling you about the issue that I encountered when I did the import, it wouldn't import. So what I had to do was this. I extracted this zip file that is contained in that zip file. Okay, I extracted it to this folder and went into this SMS task sequence package, went into the B01 folder, and I had to edit this object.xml file. So what edit did I have to do for this import to succeed? I just had to find all the retry counts. Yep, all those retry counts equal 0. I need to remove all of them. Okay? So it will actually retry. Okay? So I had to remove all the retry counts from this file and then rezip it. Okay? So extract it, go to this file, remove the retry count 0. Then zip it again. Then it'll work when you import it. Okay. Now there are other issues out there, like your PowerShell on the Windows 7 is an old version. Anything below Windows PowerShell 3.0, it can fail during the upgrade task sequence itself. Okay, so you may want to make sure that you're on Windows PowerShell 3, okay, for your clients. Okay, so after that, all you have to do now, because my task sequence is already complete, you can just deploy it like you normally do. Okay, so I'm pretty sure you know how to do this already. So all you need to do is just point to a collection. Now the next question is, how are you going to do it? Are you going to make it available or required? available? What do you think? So it's, what's the benefit of having it required? Pardon? Predictability, because it's required. Because when you do it available, how sure are you is that the user is going to go in and click it? Right? Right. For required, okay, say for example you went with required. What else are you going to, what other parameters are you going to put in there? A deadline, exactly. Because if you put a deadline of after office, right, they might have left. But in any case, when they return, what happens? It'll kick off in the morning, okay. Then I have no work to do for the next couple of hours. Okay. So things for you to think about. When you do, when you make it available, then you probably want to consider sending out comms. Like, please do this if you want to get the new shiny features of Windows 10. Okay? Otherwise, it'll be required by the end of this day. And you can't do anything about it. Okay? So think about those things. But those are coming down to your process and your company policies, so up to you. Are you afraid of your users? Yes. All right. So given that this one is already there, it will be coming down because I made it available under software. I actually tried it here already, so the Windows 10 upgrade is there. All you have to do is click. And then install selected, so operating system. It failed. No, it's still downloading, installing, boom. Checking readiness, so it's running that first part of the script. You set up, there you go. So it's gonna kick off. I'm not gonna show you until the end, but that's how it is. Very simple, okay? All right, on to the slides. Let's take a look at a step into the future. You're probably interested, how many of you have seen vNext? vNext? It's on technical preview now. It's on technical preview number 3, available for download for you to try out, okay? The thing is, if you have a lab environment that's running Config Manager 2012, it doesn't do an upgrade when you do the splash screen, right? That's what, that would have been great, but means you have to uninstall your existing 2012 in your lab and then install this technical preview. Bummer. But yeah, it's available now, TP3. It brings about the full Windows 10 support and some new features, especially in upgrade. If you found that easy earlier with Config Manager 2012, you'll find this heck of a lot easier as well. Because you don't have those scripts to worry about, okay? When you're doing an in-place cap upgrade, it's gonna be something like service pack style, yeah? And any build of Windows 10 would now be supported, okay? What type of Windows 10 would you use? Of course, you're probably gonna use your volume license one, the one that you download from your MVLS site. All right. But the point is, if you want to go fast with Windows, you need to be fast with your Config Manager. Meaning, go to the next version, try it out. So let's take a look at that task sequence. So looking at the task sequence steps, there should be less now. There's no zip file to download and import. Instead, all you need to do is create an OS upgrade package. That's a new node that will be created. And then distribute the OS, upgrade package, the DEPs, then create the task sequence and upgrade it. That's it. Oops. Let me shift back. So I'm jumping into a different environment now. This is a vNext. So please bear with me. Before I open up the management console, I want to verify that my services are up and running. You'd want that. What else do I need? That one. Are we all good now? SQL. Cool. So now let's try to open up the Config Manager console. Since most of you haven't seen it before, it's not really fun and exciting because it looks pretty much the same. Except for a few bits and pieces that have been added here. All right, while we're waiting for that to load, do you, any of you have any questions so far? Yes? Would the upgrade? So if it's going to be customizable, it's something I can't answer right now because the development of it has not covered that piece, whether they're looking at customizing that. But in effect, if you had customizations that you wanted to make, you can still do an upgrade. At the end of the upgrade, what you can do is remove applications because you can add that to your task sequence. Your upgrade task sequence at the very end can be modified such that you can remove applications and then add things that you need. Cool. Thank you. Yes?
Not necessarily a question, but just a quick clarification.
Yes?
Pick a scenario that you're upgrading 8.1 to 10. So before you do the upgrade, you have got your SCCMV next client sitting on the 8.1 machine.
Yes? Yes.
Instead of what it used to be, SMTP client. Now, when you say simple and you just need to use this small, short task sequence, I think it used to be a mention that you do need to prepare within SCCMV next your Windows 10 specific policy that when your OS is pushed and your Windows 10 in fact upgrade has completed, all these new
correct.
You can manage this new Windows 10 client through SCCM because the Windows 8.1 client policy will not properly apply.
Very good point, and I believe that deserves a prize. So I will reiterate what he said. There are a lot of changes, well, some changes that may be key to your environment. So when you upgrade to a new config manager, what do you get? Does it, and Windows 10, by the way. Windows 10, new config manager, does it support endpoint protection? Well, it actually gets replaced with Windows Defender. You can still use config manager to manage the settings of Defender. However, it's no longer endpoint protection for that case. In my test before, I have a customer that has two different clients. We got a few running Windows 10, a lot still running on Windows 8 or Windows 7. So with the same config manager, R2 SP1, those older clients are still running endpoint protection and are still managed by the policies defined by config manager. Same thing as we tested in Windows 10. In Windows 10, it's no longer running endpoint protection. I looked at the Windows Defender, it's got the same settings, the same policy that I've set in my config manager server. Okay? But yeah, those are the other things that you might need to consider, or you will need to consider. All right, before we totally run out of time, let me just go look at how it, show you how this looks like. This is VNex. Obviously, it doesn't look very different from before. What we are wanting to see is that under software library, you now have this operating system upgrade package. Okay? So all you have to do is, like what I did already, is to import that or add a new operating system upgrade package and then just point it to your Windows 10 installer. Then you'll have that package of, and again, put that to your, distribute that content to your DPs. And then what about the task sequence? So we don't have fancy scripts at this point, but you go straight to your task sequence. You can go create a task sequence. What kind of task sequence do you like? I want this new guy upgrade an operating system from that upgrade package that you just imported. Okay? And by going through this one, we call it demo Win10 upgrade. We just pointed to that upgrade package that we already previously created. You can supply your product key here if you wish. Then click on Next. You can install mandatory updates at the end of the task sequence if you also like that one. Here is where you can install applications that you need, okay, if you have anything more to add. All right? Of course, that will leverage on the application model of Config Manager, which allows you to have dependencies, global conditions, etc. Okay, and basically, you're done. You can now deploy this package, but let's take a look at what it looks like. So it's actually much shorter than the other one. Okay, it gets longer as you customize this, but it does the same things based on that four phases of upgrade. Okay, check prerequisites. Okay, upgrade the operating system, then do your restarts. So it can do post-processing as you need to, and roll back scripts that you may want to add to this one. Okay? So VNex makes it all easier in terms of upgrade. All right. So what are our go-tos? Upgrade, well, to your latest service pack. Most of you have done so already. Good. Plan for cumulative updates. Always keep up to date, basically. Then start deploying Windows 10. How many of you have tried it already? Yeah, it's cool. All right. How many of you have had issues? All right, what are some of the issues, if you may ask? Drivers not being installed. Okay. Have you fixed that? There you go. All right. So group policies. Did you ever get it to work? Sorry.
Not yet.
You might also want to consider using MDT. Have you seen the MDT for the updated one that allows you to upgrade Windows 10? So the MDT new version also allows you to have that upgrade task sequence already. So that has more capabilities in terms of injecting more drivers, more flexibility as well. Okay. So plan on your next upgrade. I still have a couple of things to give out. So in that case, I might be the one asking the questions. All right, yeah, this one first. Okay, let's start easy. What versions of Config Manager can you use to manage Windows 10 clients? And? Yeah. Yep. But not deploy. Thank you. 2007 and above. Last one. Okay. What's the main issue with USMT? Sorry, I'll give him a chance. So, all right. My main point for today, really, is this. Start playing. You've already started playing. Play some more. So you can start gaining those lessons, pretty much. So apart from that, I also want to plug in something. So if you have any questions, like you're interested in our support, we do on-site support to help you out with Windows deployment. I also do Exchange and Orchestrator, for example. So you can contact services if you're interested, and you can get us in for deployments, support, assessments, etc. Just a brief plug. There's just one more related topic over there that you might want to go to. And basically, that's it. Fill out your evals and you might win a prize. All right? Thank you very much. Have a great day. Enjoy TechEd.